you reached out to him
yeah.
for an interview and yeah. you were like, congratulations. Congratulations on the movie.
What can I say? I'm two-faced. But can I just say, bear in mind, that was before I saw the film. Hello and welcome to the Danjo Film Show, episode 65. And it's that time of year again, folks. It's not Christmas. No, it's not your New Year's. Not it's Joe and I's anniversary. It's the end of the year show, our favourite show of the year. Well, at least for me.
No, it is mine as well, I would say. It's the one that I look forward to all year round.
Oh,
I can't wait. I mean, forget Christmas. Forget New Year. I mean, literally all day, Christmas Day.
Yeah,
that's all I can think about is the recording the end of the year show.
We do love it, don't we?
We do.
We do love it. And most importantly, we are here in the studio together.
We are.
Which is always special, isn't it? Because we're not always here. And it just makes that chemistry just flow, baby.
The fact that we can hold hands during the whole record, usually I need that level of physical comfort.
Yeah. Yeah.
To perform.
Yeah. I mean, I do that anyway in the car with you, don't I?
You're like, yeah, exactly. Like, you get me psyched up.
Can you,
you know?
Take your hands off my knee? And I go, oh, yeah, of course.
Exactly. I need that sort of pre-show contact so that we can get it worked up, get it built up, ready for this magic. You can't get that over Zoom. It's not the same. It's just not the same.
No, I mean, you can poke someone on Facebook, but it's nothing like poking them in real life, is it?
No,
really?
No, exactly. No. You just can't beat the in-person thing. I do feel bad because I have got the lurgy.
Oh, I'll stay back.
Yes, yeah, I am full up. And earlier on, I was thinking, do we cancel? Because, you know, literally I'm coughing every sort of 10 minutes. But I don't think I've coughed once since we've been together. So that's quite good.
You've been good. It's part of the year, isn't it? It's winter time. It's December. It's going to go around. And if I was ever to get lurgy, I'm glad it's from you.
Well, you say that now.
No, yeah, maybe not.
But over the holidays,
yeah.
you might feel a bit different if you're in bed really well.
I definitely would be sending you some angry voice memos. What have you done to me?
This is all because of you.
Mom, Dad. it's great to be here and it's great doing the show. It's always the show I look forward to every single year. It is the icing on the cake. It's the angel on the tree. And yeah, just looking forward to it. So obviously 2022 is now over.
Yes.
Well, just nearly over. And it's been a mad year, isn't it?
It has been,
It's been a lovely year. It's the first proper year where things have been normal.
Yes.
And that's really good to mention. But in terms of this year for film, what would you make of 22? What's your thoughts? If I could get inside Joe's head for a
minute. You summed it up. Oh. Normal.
No, yay!
We're just normal innocent men.
You get a normal bag. You get a normal bag.
We're just normal men.
Yeah. We are.
Innocent men. No, but it has felt like a return to pre-COVID life in terms of cinema this year. I think a couple of weeks back, we went to see Aftersun. I can't remember the last time I really saw a film like that in the cinema.
Yeah.
I think obviously when everything kicked off with COVID and streaming sort of became the main focus for a lot of these studios, rightly so, during that tough period, a lot of those types of films like Aftersun automatically went to those streaming services. They were on Netflix, Amazon Prime, all sorts. And it's been nice to get that sort of back to life, cinema life before the tough times, where you can go see, you know, your latest Marvel film, and then you can go see something smaller. It's taken a while to get there. I don't think it's been like that all year.
No.
I think at the beginning of the year especially, I think there was still that hesitancy to put these smaller films into cinemas.
Yeah.
Franchise cinemas, at least, maybe not the smaller sort of independents. But we're now at that point where these films are getting more attention, more time in on bigger screens, which is always nice to see. So I think, especially the last couple of months, we've been saying, you know, you've been getting these big releases, but also a lot of small films. I mean, the past few weeks alone, I've really struggled to keep up.
Yeah.
I've missed She Said.
Yeah.
I've missed a lot. The Menu.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been a while since it's been to that point. So that's been, I think, one of the best, most promising things about film this year. What about you?
Yeah, it has, and it's been frustrating, but in a good way, because it's been like, yes. Oh, I've missed that, and it's we both lead busy lives, but we normally make time, don't we? Mm. Or we have this thing where we watch as many as we can. But I'm with you. It's like I've gone home crying every night, being like, I've let you down. But you know, compare that to 2 years ago, where it was like, oh, a Christmas gift from Bob is there after 3 weeks.
Yes, yes.
Anything else coming out? No. So yeah, it is a lovely situation to be in. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And it is great that so much is coming out. And don't be worried about not seeing She Said, because its sequel, He Said, is coming out next year.
Oh, that's controversial. Make it all about the men again.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're just normal men.
We are innocent men. Well, he's not. Definitely not. But, well, yeah. Unless there's a plot twist in the film I don't know anything about.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There we go. But yeah, it has been great. Mm. And it's been great revisiting some of the films from earlier months this year as well. It's been heavy competition this year. I don't know about you, but it's been a constant battle for that number one spot.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
And there've been certain films I've not been so sure on, which other people loved, like The Batman, which I revisited, and I was like, maybe this is it. I'll revisit it, and it'll be a full five, and maybe I was wrong all along. Still a four for me, but still. So you know, it's been a lot of competition, and I think that's great this year that we've had so much to choose from as well. Has it been like that for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pulling hairs to pick number one, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the worst this year has been quite easy, which is always a good sign, isn't it?
Yes.
I think we've had some turkeys. I've not as many released in cinemas as we normally do. I don't know why. I think a lot of the horror has this year in cinemas has been turkeys. A lot of horror has been great this year, but they have been, looking at my bottom list, like the good three of them are horror films, so take that what you will. But yeah, I agree. I was, you know, going back and forth, and actually that my best film I only saw recently, so that was like something I didn't see coming at all. And I thought, you know, the last show we did, the mid-year show, I said, oh, The Batman's going to be my favourite all the way to the end, and I was convinced, and then all of a sudden, bam.
Last minute. Wow, I love that.
A last minute serving.
Oh, is that a clue, Daniel?
I know, I'm like Daniel Craig in Knives Out, aren't I? I'm giving you clues.
Yes, you are, yeah.
So yeah, I'm really excited, and we'll be reading out some of your favourite films of the year later on in the show, which will be good. Thank you for getting in touch on social media, and of course, stay in touch with us. We're on Twitter at DJ Film Show, and we're also on the gram at DJ Film Show. Yeah. But we haven't got Snapchat yet.
That's where you can find our, you know, like photos on us of us in Tenerife and Magaluf.
Yeah, lads,
on
lads,
the
lads.
Gram. Yeah, on lads, the gram. Lads, lads, lads. Oh, yeah. Dan, we're in a very fetching pair of pink bathing shorts.
Oh god,
it's one of the best pictures on the internet, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh well, I want to find that and get rid of it quickly. Come on, should we make a start?
Let's do it.
What
are we gonna start with? The worst.
Oh, of course,
the turkeys. Yeah, get them over with.
Come on. I got good news and bad news. Let's get the bad news off first. So my worst film of this year, and again this is quite a recent one, sticking with the genre of horror, my worst film of the year, and I'm sure it's many others, is Jeepers Creepers Reborn. Now, I wasn't intending to watch this film, but you know what I'm like, Joe? I'm like a moth to a flame when it comes to bad films. And everyone, when this was released in September, everyone was going on about how bad it was.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, I've not seen the Jeepers Creepers films at all.
Right, okay.
I've heard of them. I may have seen one of them maybe many years ago. But from what I gather, the director of the first three films wasn't a nice guy.
I've heard rumblings about something, right?
There was sexual assault, you know, because all that kind of, you know, not rumours, I guess, but he's been convicted.
Yeah.
So he did the 1, 2, 3, and then obviously after number three, everyone kept saying, don't watch number three. He was like, you know, don't support that film because you're supporting him. And then all I'm going to say is, try and watch this, okay? That's what I'm going to say. And then they watched this and was like, oh, actually... Can we forgive? No. So this is directed. I'm gonna butcher his name now. Timo Vuorensola.
Bravo, bravo. I think that is exactly it.
Yeah, I think he'd be sat there with his cigar and he'd be like, "Oh, you got it right, you know." And I've got to say, he's such a lovely guy because I think I did reach out to him to get an interview.
I know.
For
this. Can I just say this is what makes me laugh about the whole thing?
I know.
Because you reached out to him for an interview and you were like, congratulations. Congratulations on the movie.
What can I say? I'm two-faced. But can I just say, bear in mind, that was before I saw the film.
Yeah. Oh, yes, actually, that is true.
Yeah, that's true.
And you were congratulating him that he actually got a film made,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, but when you chose this, I was like, wow, I was like, that's surprising, because Dan gave him all the congratulations.
So if I ever say congratulations to you, you know it's a
Yeah. It did make me laugh.
But yeah, that was before I saw it.
Yes,
fair. And if he had come on the show, we would have both had to watch it.
And he wanted to come on as well.
And he wanted to, fair play. And we couldn't make it work, but count your blessings, Joe, because you'd be holding my hand through this as well, okay? So he didn't come on, but a massive thank you for the offer.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, you know, taking on this fantastic franchise. And this is obviously the fourth in the series. I'm just seeing now it's on sale on Prime Video.
Oh, wow.
99p to rent.
Oh, bargain. That's what I'm watching tonight.
So this stars Sydney Craven, who plays Lane.
Yeah.
Fine British actress in an American film. And her boyfriend, played by Imran Adams, who you might know from Hollyoaks. And I was like, oh, he looks familiar somewhere. So they play a couple who are basically, the boyfriend is obsessed with this festival, and it's like a horror festival. It's a bit like Comic-Con, but it's a bit more gruesome. Mm. And so he takes her to this festival, and all of a sudden, Lane's character starts experiencing premonitions associated with the myth that is the Creeper, which is the villain in these films, you know? And every 23 years, this Creeper rises up again, and he hunts for that meat.
Yeah, very Pennywise.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. He stays away from the gutter. It's a bit ditty for him. And she believes that something supernatural has been summoning her and that she's the centre of it all. So they enter this festival. The Creeper, as they're doing this, rises again and stalks her and him and their group of friends. And it's a match of survival. Here's a clip.
Where is Michael? That no good shit the brain's gone to? It's definitely the last gig I'm working with him.
I'm a YouTuber. Get me out of here.
Oh, it was nothing. I just wanted to see what was on that video. Oh. You're jealous.
I'm not jealous.
You're jealous. It's cute.
Jealousy is a sign of a weak mind.
So good, Mojo. Wait. Ready?
Maybe something got him. Like a big animal?
There are no big animals around here.
Come on, this is Louisiana. There's like gators, snakes, and black bears roaming all around.
They wouldn't come here.
Hey, man, get easy.
There's no gators around here. She's jealous.
Oh my gosh. Oh. That clip earlier on. When I was getting that clip, I was sort of gutted that I hadn't watched it. Cause
there's still time.
There is. I mean, it's a bit late for this show now, but it is still. It sounds like such a hoot, that movie.
Oh, it's a hoot nanny.
Jealous. Like, what?
She's jealous.
Oh, what a strange performance from that guy.
And do you know what the strangest thing is? I don't know when that takes place in the film. So much happened. It was a blur. Listen, you know, this film makes Stuart Brennan look like Martin Scorsese.
Oh, Dan.
It does.
Oh.
And I remember a few years ago on a separate show saying that that film that we watched, Wolf, was the worst film I'd ever seen.
Oh, my gosh.
I honestly think I had to, you know, I've got to watch it back again because I think this might be one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life.
No.
Yeah. Seriously. And I went in with rock bottom. Like, if it was just kind of, you know, not even watchable, just like bearable. Honestly, and I really, you know, it makes me think again about films like Slender Man. You know?
Oh, wow.
Even though that was horrendous and I thought nothing's going to beat that. I mean, oh, my goodness. I mean, the acting, to start with, whoa. Like, you know, and I will go out and say, you know, it's not the director's fault. I think the actors are terrible here. I don't think they're given a very good script to begin with, but I just think they're so cheesy and corny, and everything is just so elongated and just horrendous. The special effects in here are something else. They've made the creeper look like a marshmallow. His skin is rotten, boy. That is terrible. It's got such a low budget, way, way lower than the other films. And I just think, you've done three films in the series. Why would you keep going? I really, really do think that. But the worst thing of all is, okay, fair enough, but I feel like whoever did the lighting in this film, like, didn't understand natural light. Like, he didn't like it at all. So he said, let's make everything CGI. Let's make the sky CGI. Let's make everything. So there's the scenes where they're running through the forest and the background is CGI.
Oh, my God. And I'm not kidding. It looked like that in the in the clip.
I think he went CGI mad. Wow. And so, you know, the first half of the film, they're at this festival and they're running through the forest. The second half takes place in this kind of old rundown building, you know, where the creeper resides. And I think, you know, those shots aren't too terrible because they're all internal. But oh my gosh, the forest shots are just horrendous. I mean, the kills are awful. There's not a single scare in sight. Like I said, there's not even blood or gore for those who like those types of things.
Yeah.
Oh, it was absolutely unbearable. And I, you know, it's getting a thrashing online as it is. It's on like 0%. I don't think I've seen one person, like honestly, not seen one person say they kind of liked it. And I do apologise to the director because I do think he has made one or two other films. And I think he's just gotten into a franchise that he doesn't need. Like, he didn't need this, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think he tried to revive it, but he ended up killing it. For certain. So, it was horrendous. Wow. I think if you're going to watch it for a good laugh, get the bezes out, get the mates over, and I think you will have a good laugh, because we had a good laugh. Who knows, in years to come, we may revisit it over a couple of beers.
Yeah, I'd be down for that, especially if it's my first watch of it, you know, because I remember seeing the original Jeepers Creepers in the cinema.
Yeah.
I think I went with my mum.
Oh.
Years and years back.
Yeah.
And it was fine. It was okay. I think it did spook me, but I think I was a bit younger then. But the fact that they're still trying to tap that franchise for you know, money is just beyond me. And the fact that they're saying, you know, every 23 years, like, that's like, that is a blatant ripoff of of it.
I gladly wait 23 years though for another one.
And it'll just be called Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah,
it'll be, because people remake. They'll hope people would have forgotten by then.
We don't forget on this show.
We won't forget.
We will forget. So yeah, that's my worst film of the year.
Wow.
But can you do any better, Joe? What is your worst film of the year?
Well, looking at that clip earlier on, I don't think I could do any better. But there we go. We'll give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot.
So my worst film of the year, and it is something that has been discussed previously, is the Nan movie.
You're right, love.
You're right, love. You're right.
What a liberty.
What a liberty. Starring Catherine Tate, written by Catherine Tate, and Brett Goldstein. Hmm. Which disappoints me. Catherine Tate, not so much. Brett Goldstein disappoints me, because I'm a fan of Brett Goldstein.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, soon to be Hercules, spoiler alert, in the MCU.
Nice.
Great in Ted Lasso. You know, his podcast is great, Films to Be Buried With. Mm. Fantastic guy. Lovely chap, I imagine, if I met him on the street.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's attached to this really, really disappoints me. So this is based off of Catherine Tate's iconic character from her sketch show, which was made, 1995?
Yeah,
not quite that early, but...
Yeah, I mean, strike when the iron's freezing.
Exactly, right? You're right. So fans have clearly been, you know, starting petitions. They've been crying out for the Nan movie all these years. So she's finally brought it after years of writing, you know, thinking of what story would we tell in the Nan movie. Obviously, we've got to investigate her history. Yeah. Look at her origins. Yeah. Why is she the way she is? You know, let's get deep with this character. Because, you know, I remember watching the Catherine Tate show, and I remember sitting there as a kid, you know, as a teenager thinking, who is she? Who is the
Who
Nan?
Who are you?
Who is she? I want to know more about her.
Yeah.
So the angle they've gone with the Nan movie is she gets a letter from her long estranged sister, who is dying, hasn't got good news, and her grandson, played by Matthew Horne, is basically trying to get her to go and visit his sister, build some bridges, all the while they go on this journey where they meet a whole array of crazy characters. There's a lot of flashbacks as to what happened between the two in the past and why they've not talked in so long. Here's a clip.
Shabuya, yeah, yeah, Shabuya, roll call.
My name is Osman.
Yeah.
And I drink beer.
Yeah.
We're playing rugby.
Yeah.
I hope we win.
Roll call. Shabuya, yeah, yeah, Shabuya, roll call. Shabuya, yeah, yeah, Shabuya, roll call.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Get your head down, Mick.
No,
there we go.
Jamie, you can do this. You're an Australian rugby player from Australia in Ireland.
Keep your voice down.
G'day, officer.
Morning, lads.
G'day, officer.
G'day, officer.
G'day, officer.
Where are you boys after?
Big game.
Yeah.
Who's in here? The rugby team.
Oh, yeah, just us boys.
Oh, really? Just us boys, is it? Yeah. Just us boys who enjoy a couple of tinnies and saving babies from dingoes, Sarah.
What's she saying?
She?
That's how we identify.
Mm.
Yeah. We're fluid, non-binary, eco-friendly,
queer.
There is a distinct smell of urine in this minibus.
That was a nutsack.
Take that wig off.
It's stuck to my head.
Take that wig off.
I can't hear you.
Oh, mate, that was not good.
That was shocking.
Wow.
Shocking.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, well, there's so much which actually happens in it.
I forgot I actually sat in the cinema and watched that.
Exactly, there's so much. They go to Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
They go to a nightclub. They meet Australians.
Yeah.
We're on tour. They meet a, like, environmental terrorist at one point. Very episodic, very sketchy, like, in both the literal sense and the metaphorical sense. It's 95 minutes.
Yeah.
It felt like an eternity. you know, I've never been a fan, particularly of the original show, nor do I think that you should have to be to enjoy it on its own. You know, like I said, it's not as if you've got any baggage, the character's got any baggage coming into this film. So it feels outdated completely. I mean, it feels like the script for this was written literally 10, 15 years ago.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like a Nan movie for the modern age at all, which I think really lets it down. I don't think it has much to say. The punchline at the end of the movie feels a bit like redundant and a bit like old school and a bit like outdated as well. It didn't really sit well with me, you know, getting all the way to the end and it being, you know, a joke about a cross-dresser or you know, a trans man. It just is a lot which just didn't sit with me, but it's just incredibly dull.
Yep.
And at one point I thought you were sat in the cinema because there was a guy sat a couple of rows, but I heard him sigh. It was like a Daniel sigh. And I was like, who's Dan
catching on?
And so at least I wasn't going through it alone. And it's poorly made. Like, you know, I could even, when I give a film a one star, which this is a one star, you know, I could sometimes lift it to a two if there's any sort of, you know, inkling that effort went into actually putting the film together. There's no such inclination, but, you know, with this film, it's poorly made. It's like, it's as if it's made by school kids on a day where a teacher couldn't be bothered, which you know all about. And I think it is absolutely just poorly made and unfunny, outdated and unnecessary. And of all the films that I've seen, because like there have been a number of bad films, I think even Pinocchio on Disney Plus, which was shocking, at least that had some sort of filmmaking, you know, yeah. Robert Zemeckis, he's reliable.
Of course, yeah.
So that is why The Nan movie is my worst film of the year. But you've got some background information, don't you, as well?
I do.
On why, perhaps, it's so bad.
Hold on to your horses. If this was March of 2022, this would be an exclusive. It's not anymore. Yeah, so I actually know, I'm not going to mention him here, because I think he, from what it sounds, he's quite embarrassed to be part of the film, or maybe not, I don't know. I chatted with somebody I know well, a friend of a family who appeared in the film as one of the characters, and I asked him about it, and I said, oh, congratulations on the Nan movie, firstly, and he kind of laughed, and I said, so tell me, I said, what was the history behind the film? And apparently, they shot most of the film, I mean, way before COVID, because we think now this year, 2022, we think a lot of films going through COVID. No, it was way before COVID, like 2 years before COVID.
Wow.
So this has been on the shelf for like 5 years, really.
Yeah, and it shows.
Yeah, and the director of the film, she wanted to go on the angle of exploring the Nan's history, a lot more of those flashbacks, World War II flashbacks we saw, and she was fired, apparently. Like, the studio just were not happy with what she was trying to get at. And I think if you let her finish, then maybe there could have been something there of substance, you know?
Yeah.
And the studio was like, who needs a director? So there was no director. So they fired her and they went back and reshot in September of 2019. All those little car sections, you know, the bits in the car where they're picking up New Zealanders. A lot of those stop motion animation bits where they're like, googly eyes.
Yeah. Shocking.
Which is horrendous. I don't know why they put them in the film. But yeah, they had to put the filler in because it just had no story left. So if you watch it, you're kind of like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
So
Absolutely, it shows.
There we are. That is the story. And then it somehow got released.
Well,
and Catherine
all had to, we all had to bear the brunt of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there we are.
There we go.
You got to get that off your chest.
I am. And I'm glad we can move on to the good stuff now.
Moving on to the good now. And boy, do we have some good. So shall I go first?
Yes.
Okay, so my favourite film of the year is not The Batman. It was until very, very recently. My favourite film of the year is The Menu. Which you've not seen yet.
No, I've not seen. I feel awful. I've not seen your worst or your best
this year. Got out easy, and I've seen both of
yours. I've seen both of mine, yeah.
No, fair enough. This is directed by Mark Mylod, and it's actually co-written by Will Ferrell. Which is,
I did not know
that. Yeah, he's one of the three writers, and like I said, that makes a lot of sense now. So this stars Ralph Fiennes. He plays a chef called Chef Slowick. And he runs this a very elusive, elite restaurant in the middle of nowhere. You have to get the boat in on this island. It's incredibly expensive. It costs like £2,000 for a meal there. Nicholas Hoult is in this. He plays Tyler. He is obsessed with the chef. He's been wanting to go to this restaurant for years. He ends up taking who we believe to think his partner, his girlfriend, maybe not so much, maybe someone less than that, Margot, played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who joins him. She's not excited at all. She doesn't understand this idea of very high eating, these kind of like Michelin-starred plates that look like just look eating inedible. They don't look very tasty, but you know they're earth from the ground, and they're all naturally produced, and they're all vegan and this and that. So she's not particularly interested, but she goes along. Anyway, he's there with a group of other guests, very high-profile guests. You have actors, you have restaurant critics. They're all huddled together into this room. What ends up happening is we get taken through each course. There's six courses in total, and with every course, the tension rises, the suspense rises. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the chef's plans are. All that we know is that there's this kind of us and them mentality between the two. He's somebody that's been affected a lot by reviews and critics. So you're kind of on edge all the way through, and I'm not going to spoil too much because there's lots to spoil here, but things do get very, very shocking with every meal that he gives out. Here's a clip.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Hawthorne. I'm Julian Slowick, and tonight it'll be our pleasure to feed you.
The curtain rises.
Over the next few hours, you will ingest fat, salt, sugar, protein, bacteria, fungi, various plants and animals, and at times entire ecosystems. I have to beg of you one thing. It's just one. Do not eat.
Is he here?
Taste. Savor. Relish. Consider every morsel that you place inside your mouth. Be mindful, but do not eat. Our menu is too precious for that. And look around. Here we are, on this island. Accept all of it. And forgive. And on that note, food.
So I would not be getting the bill from him.
You'd do a runner 3,000, on that
3,000, yeah, but I gotta go. So it becomes apparent to these guests that they're not going to be able to escape. Things get a little more deadly and shocking as, like I said, as the courses progress. The film is just fantastic because it is full of shocks and surprises. It really is. The moment you think you've got it sorted out, it just goes into a different direction. There's so many questions you have throughout, and a lot of them do get answers at the end, but there's just enough for you to, for your intrigue and your mystery to think, okay, what was that about? And but it's not in a frustrating way. It's kind of like, okay, they were hinting at this here. I wonder what that actually meant. Anya Taylor-Joy is incredible in this. She brings this kind of sarcastic nature to the film because she's the one guest that doesn't really care for it all. And Ralph Fiennes' character kind of leans on her a bit, and he tries to find out, you know, why don't you accept me? The film at the heart is a satire. It's a satire about the damage that restaurant critics can do to somebody. It's a film about, he said there, you know, I don't want you to eat the food, I want you to savour it, I want you to, you know, relish it in your body. It's about the fact that a lot of high-end restaurants have become more than just a delicious meal. It's been an experience, it's been something that, you know, that you should savour for the rest of your life. And it's actually, well, hold on, it's just a piece of cracker on a plate, what you're doing, mate? and there is one of the courses where they should have had bread, and they go, why didn't we have bread with it? But this is just incredible to me. I thought the performances were excellent. It is so tense all the way through. I was completely immersed in it to the point where I didn't look away from the screen at any point. And I can't remember the last time I went to the cinema and didn't at least kind of look down or maybe check the time, or not for all films, but you know what I mean. The audience I was with were really hooked by it as well. Like I said, it has a lot to say. It has a lot of social commentary on restaurants and food. But I just thought the central performance from Anya Taylor-Joy is incredible. She's had a really good year this year with The Northman.
Really good year, yeah, really good year.
And I just think, you know, she should be a film movie star by now, to be honest, because she's done the work. It's done really well at the box office. It, you know, for a Fox Searchlight film, it's done better than some of the other Disney films this year, which is good. And yeah, I just thought it was sharply written. The dialogue is great. Ralph Fiennes, Anya Taylor-Joy are fantastic. You never know which direction it's going to go into or what twists and turns are going to be coming on the way. I can't wait to watch it again. I'm going to try and catch it in the cinema if I can, but I'm sure it will come on to streaming very soon. So yes. Yeah, favourite film of the year, The Menu, and it was delicious.
Well, you've sold it to me.
Oh, thanks.
You've sold it. I am excited to watch it. Like I said, hopefully it'll be, if I can't catch it in the cinema, hopefully I'll get an opportunity to watch it on Disney Plus soon. But what I want to know, are there any other honourable mentions you'd just like to give a shout out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, of course, The Batman.
Yes.
You know, which we've talked about before. Obviously, Top Gun Maverick.
Yes.
You know, you're like, yeah.
Very good.
Exhilarating, you know, done incredibly well. For me, a lovely film called Letter to Anne Frank.
Okay.
Which some people didn't go see, but it's a beautiful animation, so definitely check that out. I'm trying to think of what other ones, really. Oh, Scream.
Yes.
Which for me, yes. I mean, it wasn't quite a five, but it's one of those films that's so close. And I can't wait to watch it again. I've seen it like 3-4 times.
Yeah.
Reinvented the franchise. I'm really looking forward to Scream 6. And yeah, really, those are the top for me. I think, like I said, there's been really high standard this year.
No.
It's been really
100%.
Good. But.
Yes.
Over to you now.
Well, my favourite film of 2022 has not changed since our mid-year special. I have rewatched a few of the top contenders just to be sure. But yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. My favourite film of 2022 is The Phantom of the Open, directed by our good friend, Craig Roberts.
Yes.
Who was on the show to promote it, has been on previously with Eternal Beauty. And Mark Rylance plays the real-life Morris Flitcroft, who is one of the worst, holds a record for one of the worst games of golf ever played. And it's based off of a book written about Morris Flitcroft and his journey, basically how he managed to somehow con his way, essentially, onto the Scottish Open, and how his determination to become, you know, as best as a golfer as possible, even though he didn't really have the ability, is the sort of focus of the film. Here's a clip.
Fingers.
Right, next. What is a par?
far as the optimal amount of shots you should take on any given hole. So, for example, on par 4, the optimal amount of shots is 4.
Correct. What is a birdie?
That is one shot under the par. So, for example, par 4, 3.
And a bogey. Oh,
bogey?
I know that one, Daddy. Yeah, it's one of these, mate.
Wow.
What have I told you about?
Oh, they're even better than I thought.
So shiny, aren't they?
These were the cheapest ones in all.
Really?
Look.
Crikey.
Number 90.
Oh, need to be a millionaire to play this game,
You should see what the clothes cost.
Really?
Might get clip onto it.
Dad! You want telly?
And he says...
No, what?
I was wondering how I might go about getting into the British Open Championship, as I quite fancy lifting the old claret jug. Well, Morris, all you have to do is write to the Royal and Ancient Golf Club in St Andrews of Scotland, and they'll send you an entry form. But remember, ask your mum and dad before you use all their stamps and things. Always warms my cockles when we get letters from keen youngsters like little Morris.
Love it. Morris Flitcroft.
Morris Flitcroft.
What a man.
Played by Mark Rylance there, Sally Hawkins as well as his wife. The reason why I love this film so much, it's written by Simon Farnaby, who is one of my favourite writers working today. He's an actor as well, obviously, famous for his role in Horrible Histories and Ghosts, you know, massive curly hair. And he always seems to pop up in these films as well, like Paddington and things like that. And he's one of my favourite writers because he just juggles in everything he sort of does, be it Ghosts or Paddington or this. He juggles really well the humour and the absurdity of life with, you know, kindness and an emotional sort of heart to it as well. And that's carried through all his works, and certainly is the case here. It just juggles that quirky sense of humour really well, whilst also, you know, telling a story about a man who has, you know, put people in his life first, his whole life, and impassioned about something. And it's sort of that Rocky underdog story, you know, that he wants to, even though he's different to Rocky because he doesn't have the skill, he just wants to show, you know, his sons that you know, you, that determination, that grit can get you where you want to be. And I just think it's a classic underdog story told through the lens of Craig Roberts. And I think, I don't know about you, but I think watching Eternal Beauty and this, it's just like the level of, you know, work that he's done and his skill is just increased tenfold. He talked about the show, he wanted to make it a superhero movie. You know, there's sort of nods to Superman throughout it. And he's not afraid to jump into the fantastical elements when making these films. And it's sort of perfect to have that sort of fantastical, dreamlike sequence, see those sequences in a film like this for a man who does have big dreams and wants to, will do anything to achieve them. And yeah, at the heart of it is a story about a man and his family and about, you know, everything that he has done to support them through his whole life, even though, you know, he didn't necessarily need to. It's just got a big heart and some great performances, understated, but Mark Rylance is always good, Sally Hawkins is always good. It ticks all the boxes for me. If you've liked films like Eddie the Eagle, again, true story, which I thought was great, made a few years back, you'll love this. It's on Sky Now or Now TV, and to watch over the Christmas period. And I just think it's a perfect family film, and it's one which you can easily just revisit time and time again. And I think years to come, I will be still be talking about this film. Oh, so it'll probably be on ITV2 every other week or whatever. And I can imagine myself still talking about it. Whereas some of the other picks, probably not as much. And just to give those a quick shout out, The Northman came very, very close. Yes. About Anya Taylor-Joy. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Popular one this year.
Very popular. Big in the awards circuit next year,
gonna
I think.
Going to back those Globes. Those big, absolutely, shiny
globes. Absolutely. Elvis as well.
Oh, yes.
Which really snuck in there for me. I really loved Elvis. And an honourable mention to two more films, Glass Onion, Knives Out Mystery.
Oh, haven't seen it.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. Can't wait to watch that again. And last but not least, like you said, with Scream, I really loved X this year.
Oh, yes.
X.
Ty West is X.
Yes, I absolutely loved it. And I can't wait to finally see Pill next March.
Yeah,
I
coming
think,
in March,
it?
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
About time.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's my favourite film of the year, Phantom of the Open.
Aww.
It's a film about kindness. Mm. Let's all be kind to each other.
Amen. A hole in one.
A hole in one.
Well, he didn't get a hole in one.
No.
He can't play. He's useless.
Yeah, he is useless, but there we go.
That terrific choice there, Joe. And I think one can argue with that. And
I think
fun fact for all you who like fun facts out there, the Nan movie and the Phantom of the Open both released in the same week this year.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, thank goodness you didn't watch them back to back.
Yes.
Thank goodness that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You'd be like high and then low. We've been on social media and a lot of you have been in touch to tell us your best films of the year, which is good. At Kieran Townsend said Top Gun Maverick.
Yes, very good choice.
Very good choice. Claire Ellen Hope has gone for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Wow, okay.
So agrees with you there. Van Connor has gone for Violet Knight.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Fair play.
And then we've also got our good friend Hamish.
Oh, Hamish. We love Hamish.
You know, he's got such a high standard, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does.
But he says it's Morbin time. He's gone for Morbius. Which I love. I do love that, Hamish. Thank you so much for that.
Well done, Hamish, boy.
Well done. Thank you for getting in touch. And that is the end of our show. Yeah, end of the year. And we just want to say a massive thank you to everyone this year who's been part of the show, whether you've been an interview, a guest, or just someone listening, whether you've listened to one show or all of our shows, just a massive thank you for this year and for the last 3 years, because we wouldn't be here doing this, what we do, without you guys.
Yeah, it's been a great 3 years. Mm. And all the support that we've had from, you know, all the people that we've met through the show, which we wouldn't have otherwise, just being sort of welcomed into that film community and getting to, you know, meet people, you know, speak with people like Hamish and Gary Slaymaker, Claire, Rachel Wagner, all those people, you know, it's been great for the support and to have them on and meet those people. And the amount of interviews we've had as well, filmmakers and actors alike. You know, just thank you for all the support over the last 3 years and this year as well.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, all we've got to say now is thank you very much. Have a happy new year.
Yeah.
And we hope to see you soon and all the best.
Yeah, see you on the other side.
See you on the other side.